itty-bitty little world that teaches every little boy and girl to earn as much as they can possibly, then turn around and spend it foolishly. We create it as a credit card mess. We spend the money that we don't possess. Our religion is to go and blow it all. So it's shopping every Sunday at the mall.
And good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Friday, July the 11th, 2008 broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming to you Monday through Friday right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're on the web at www.republicbroadcasting.org. Log on and bookmark it today. My name is William Roberts, and I've got good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you today. And if you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. You don't want to miss a moment of today's broadcast, because today we're going to continue the topic begun on our July the 8th and July the 10th broadcast, and today's installment will be part 3 of the International Migration and Development Agenda, Why the U.S. Borders Remain Open to All. We'll take your calls and much more. I do welcome your calls, your comments, and your questions as they relate to the topics we're discussing at 1-800-313-9443. I encourage you to listen very closely, take notes, access our RBN show archives, download a copy of today's broadcast onto disc or CD. And for those without internet access, you may call directly to RBN at 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. And ask for a copy of the CD of today's broadcast. And if you haven't picked up the other two, get the July the 8th and the July 10th as well. So again, the RBN listener call-in line is 1-800-313-9443. Please make a note of that. Now, it's only natural that as Americans we react to everything reported in the news as though from our needs spring the center of the universe, when in reality we are but a small segment of the total population alive on this planet. And this is a genuine problem when the greater realities are overlooked or fail to become a meaningful part of this dialogue. Because the illegal alien invasion of our several states, which is no exception, can't be understood when we think about it just simply from the standpoint of the United States of America, our several states. So I like to say that arrogance is as ignorance an impediment to full comprehension of the real issues that daily escalate the destruction of our nation, our people, and our lives. Now, what does Agenda 21 have to do with the invasion of our states by millions of illegal aliens? And if you listen to the previous broadcast where Sevilla was interviewing Dr. Michael Kaufman, you got a pretty good background into more of how this Agenda 21 process and the idea of public-private partnership is eroding our liberties. And so that would be another good broadcast to download and add to your toolkit, so to speak. But does this invasion, this illegal invasion, advance freedom, or does it advance sustainable development? And how does granting amnesty to this lawless horde facilitate the implementation of Agenda 21? Is Congress's continuing drive to pass comprehensive immigration reform and or anti-hate legislation also linked to the implementation of Agenda 21? So as we go into this a little bit deeper today, I think you're going to understand that there is far more to stopping, blocking, reversing, changing the illegal alien immigration than simply posting a few National Guardsmen along the southern border, a couple of aerial drones, hiding cameras in the trees, and that sort of stuff, which makes good news, but does very little for the overall problem. And the book that we began yesterday, we finished up looking at the comparisons right out of Agenda 21, the Program of Action from the United Nations. And the book we began was the Compendium of Recommendations on International Migration and Development, which we will continue after this short 3-minute intermission. Stay with us. This is Become Vocal Local.
Here we go. Life Change Tea is restoring America's health. Want to lose weight? Want to lower blood sugar levels? Want to have more energy? Do you not believe what I'm saying? Then read the testimonies. Go to the website GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or call us and get started today. The phone number is 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Operators are standing by. For about a dollar a day, you can change your health, change your weight, and change your life. Again, online orders, GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or order by phone, 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Life Change Tea is formulated by Dr. William W. Miller, Ph.D. Life Change Tea, changing America's health, one tea bag at a time.
Let me tell you why I take Beta Prostate. As a man, I know my chances of having an enlarged prostate is pretty good. As a matter of fact, by the age of 40, our prostate can swell to the size of an apricot. And by age 60, our prostate can enlarge to the size of a lemon. Now, your prostate is right next to your bladder, so this is the main reason why men are up all night going to the bathroom. A good night's sleep is important for every man and their wives, since every time you wake up, she wakes up. So what do? You see your doctor for checkups, eat a healthy diet, and take what I take. It's called Beta Prostate, and it's a natural supplement that helps maintain prostate health. Over 2 million bottles of Beta Prostate have been sold. Why? Because it works. Try it free today by calling 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848. Don't put this call off until tomorrow. Try it free today. Dial 1-800-362-5848.
Last month, Ready Reserve Foods stated that by fall, food would be in short supply and the government would be forced to impose controls on food and food distribution because of civil unrest and panic. Well, the floods in the heartland of America have all but assured this will happen. It is estimated that 5 million acres of farmland will not be producing over 700 million bushels of corn alone. If you have ever thought about storing food, now is the time to do so. Call Ready Reserve Foods at 1-800-453-2202 for a free catalog. Larry Matlack, president of the American Agriculture Movement, stated on June 6th that the USDA has only enough wheat stored to make one half of a loaf of bread for every American. Visit us on the web at ReadyReserveFoods.com. 1-800-453-2202. That's 1-800-453-2202. Act now.
And we're back right here on Become Vocal Local. And yesterday, and in the previous broadcast, I've talked about this compendium of recommendations on international migration and development. It is a book. You can get a copy of it yourself directly from the United Nations Publications Department. But the compendium, a compendium is basically a gleaning. It's like going through your records and finding everything that you can find on a specific topic. And they put all this information together in advance of a high-level dialogue that was held at the United Nations General Assembly in the United Nations building in New York City, which would have been an alternate target perhaps on 9/11 if there was anybody sane on the planet. Nevertheless, that's my opinion. But this compendium of recommendations then, what I'm doing basically is I'm creating a different kind of a compendium. I'm going through this, all of the records that I've been able to gather on this subject, and I'm presenting it to you point by point by point. So there's a great amount of information, obviously, that I can't cover that can be found in this compendium, but I've tried to take my gleanings out of it to give you the high points, if you will, some of the most important and illuminating material that was presented. And going through this big stack again last night, I realized that even today I won't be able to cover all of the material that I have that I think that you really need to know in order to understand why the borders remain wide open. But we'll just go right into it today and go back from this compendium, Section C, Recommendations for Action, that has to deal with population goals and policies. And, of course, we ended yesterday talking about population growth, and we'll start in today at a Section E called International Migration. And I'm going to read point by point from the various different parts of this compendium and from other data as we go through today's broadcast so that you have the information that you can share as you begin to build your local voting precinct groups and take this information to the people that are in power right where you are, so that they understand that there's a much bigger picture, perhaps, than what they've been told on the news. Here we go. Point number 53. The problems of refugees and displaced persons arising from forced migration, including their right of return to homes and properties, should also be settled in accordance with the relevant principles of the Charter of the United Nations, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and other international instruments. So right off the bat, we find out that this is not a local problem. This is a global problem. And so in order to solve the global problems, we're going to need to understand what they are and what the who is behind them and what is their agenda. What are they trying to achieve here? But you can see that refugees and displaced persons arising from forced migration. Now, if you will think of Iraq and Afghanistan and all of the people that have been displaced there who are now moving intra-state, in other words, they're moving about inside of Iraq and Afghanistan, trying to find some place that they can lie their head down without having it bashed in or bombed or cluster bombed or some other thing, or they're absolutely just fleeing their countries. And we saw that at the close of the Vietnam War, where the United States accepted so many Vietnamese refugees. And so we need to understand that, because it's a huge problem. Problems of refugees and displaced persons arise from forced migration. Another forced migration occurred during Katrina. As you recall, FEMA came in and relocated a great number of the people from that area that have never returned to the Ninth Ward, by the way. Now, point number 54, countries that are concerned with the outflow of migrant workers and wish to encourage and assist those remaining workers or returning workers should make particular efforts to create a favorable employment opportunity at the national level. So there are countries then that are concerned with this outflow of migrant workers. We need to be aware of that. More developed countries, now again we went through the chain of different kinds of development and the history of the term, but more developed countries should cooperate bilaterally or through regional organizations and the international community with less developed countries to achieve these goals through the increased availability of capital, technical assistance, export markets, and more favorable terms of trade and choice of production technology. So once again, we go back to this captains of finance and industry that are the ones that profit from all of this migration of populations. That is extremely important, and it's fundamental to the topic. Countries receiving migrant workers should provide proper treatment and adequate social services for them and their families, and should ensure their physical safety and security in conformity with the provisions of the relevant conventions and recommendations of the International Labor Organization and other international instruments. If you're not aware of who the ILO is, realize that it's a socialist organization that has been in existence for a long time, and that what they say oftentimes is translated into what governments or states do. And that we need to understand as well. But here we go in this section 55. Countries receiving migrant workers, now that would be the United States of America, the several states therein, should provide proper treatment and adequate social services for them and their families. And if you recall our caller from Missouri yesterday, Dan, when he was saying that there was a great disparagement here when we have services being provided to these illegals in our schools, in our hospitals, and every place else. Our churches are just absolutely excited about having all of these extra bodies in the pews. But we've got a real problem here. Why is it that we should then provide proper treatment and adequate social services for them and their families? They are not citizens of the United States of America. They didn't come through the front door. They've crawled through the back door. And we need to be aware of that. So then, 56, specifically in the treatment of migrant workers, governments should work to prevent discrimination in the labor market. So now we'll create a special class for these migrants through lower salaries or other unequal conditions, to preserve the human rights, to combat prejudice against them, and to eliminate obstacles to the reunion of their families. Governments should enable permanent immigrants to preserve their cultural heritage inter alia through the use of their mother tongue. Laws to limit illegal immigration should relate only to the illegal migrants themselves, but also to inducing or facilitating their illegal action, and should be promulgated in conformity with international law and basic human rights. Governments should bear in mind humanitarian considerations in the treatment of aliens who remain in a country illegally. Are we rolling out the carpet here for criminals? It sounds like it to me. What do you mean? That because we have these people who have crashed the party, so to speak, that we should help to preserve their cultural heritage through the use of their mother tongue. And then we'll teach our young to speak their tongue so that we can communicate with the illegals in our community. What's up with that? Let's continue. Point number 60. Where immigration has proved to be of a long-term nature, countries are invited to explore the possibilities of extending national civil rights to immigrants. Now, an immigrant is not the same as an alien. We need to know that. We went through the definitions in the first broadcast. And so when we're talking about someone who has immigrated into this country, more power to you. I welcome you here. That's great. This is what we're all about. We welcome immigrants, people who come through the front door, provided that we have a broad spectrum based on population percentages and that we're not excluding some and allowing others. So that's important. The flow, 61, the flow of skilled workers, technicians, and professionals from more developed countries to less developed countries may be considered a form of international cooperation. That's an important terminology. When you have international cooperation, it can be considered to be a cash donation, if you will, to another country. And we do have a flow of skilled workers, technicians, and professionals from our country going to China to set up factories and things like that. But typically, as soon as they get the new Lazy Boy plant or the new Fasco plant or whatever they're setting up over there, as soon as they get it set up, then they're found, someone else from China replaces them and they can get, come home. So we set up the factories, we lay them out, we design them, we bring all of our tooling and dye and all of our equipment over there, we teach them how to run the factory like a turnkey shop, then we walk away. And that needs to stop. Number 62. Countries affected by significant numbers of migrant workers are urged, if they have not yet done so, to conclude bilateral or multilateral agreements, which would regulate migration, protect and assist the migrant worker, and protect the interests of the countries concerned, the corporations. And so, we have concluded a bilateral or multilateral agreement when we sat down to the table and came up with this building a North American community, the Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America, and with the dialogue entered towards the free trade area of the Americas. So there's no doubt that we're doing bilateral and multilateral agreements, which would supposedly regulate migration or protect and assist migrant workers. But how much are we actually regulating the migration, or is it just a wide open flow from the southern hemisphere to the north? Again, we find that the International Labor Organization should promote concerted action in the field of protection of the migrant worker, and the United Nations Commission on Human Rights should help, as appropriate, to ensure the fundamental rights of migrants are safeguarded. Again, we're bending over backwards on the international level to make it make them feel welcome and at home, even though they've crashed our border. Now, here, number 3, promotion of knowledge and policies. Section B, Research, 78. The formation, implementation, and evaluation of population policies, including methods for integrating population inputs and goals in the development of plans and programs, means for understanding and improving the motivations of people to participate in the formulation and implementation of population programs. So what we're talking about here, under research, this formulation, implementation, and evaluation of population policies, it's designed to help people to get behind, understand, and improve their motivation to participate in the formulation and the implementation of these population programs. Folks, this is propaganda. We'll be back right here on Become Vocal Local. Stay with us.
Eat. Each client
has a unique situation.
Each client is first and foremost
an individual.
Each client with Onesti Investment Advisors has a different set of goals,
time frames,
risk tolerance,
and needs.
But the philosophy at Onesti Investment Advisors always remains the same.
One,
the preservation of capital.
Two,
consistent profitability. And
three,
the pursuit of superior returns.
In that order.
CFP certificate, John Onesti has over 14 years in the financial services industry and understands the complexities of today's markets. At Onesti Investment Advisors, we have no conflicts of interest, so we look out for you, our client. The better you do,
the better we do.
To learn more about our products and services, call Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Visit us online at onestiadvisors.com or
click on our banner ad on the RBN website.
Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had 2 mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased, and I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation, because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
Do you want to know right now how you can drive around using water as fuel and laugh at rising gas costs? Then keep listening for a very special offer. GasFreedom.info has all the information you need to learn about a simple technology you can have right now. GasFreedom is a do-it-yourself, affordable, practical, free energy device. It uses a little electricity from your car's battery to separate water into a gas called HHO. HHO, also called Brown's gas, burns beautifully and provides tons of energy, while the end product is just water. Visit GasFreedom.info now to learn more. In just 10 minutes, you will discover exactly how this is possible.
This is the secret the oil and auto industry doesn't want you to know.
Go to gasfreedom.info to learn how very easy it is to extract energy from water to run your car. Go to gasfreedom.info for this special offer. Turn any car into a hybrid for $300. Use the passcode RBN and receive $49 off. That's gasfreedom.info or call 239-628-3708. That's 239-628-3708. 239-628-3708.
We're back right here on Become Vocal Local. You know, the other day at a little sidebar in our local newspaper, I saw a notice that I think it said something like 67% of the people today no longer read, and it's such a shame. But I'm stepping out on a limb here, going out reaching a little bit. You may not obtain a copy of this document, this compendium of recommendations for your own library. I understand that. So I'm reading some of the things that I've found in it that I think that you'll find very pertinent and useful, that you'll be able to then go back and access the archives and listen to several times and share it with other people. I'm not going to make a DVD or something like that on this particular topic. I don't do that. I'm a researcher. I write and I speak, and that's the things that I'm good at doing. The things that you can do then is to take some of this information, like I like to say, knowledge is power, but it's only powerful when combined with action, and get it out into the streets, put it into general circulation. But as we go through this document, one of the primary reasons that I'm presenting it in this fashion is so that you get an understanding that there is absolutely no political will to stop international migration and development. On the contrary, the whole agenda is to promote it and push it and promote it and push it on an international level. And until we get that dialogue before Congress, until we get that dialogue in front of our state representatives and our county councils, then we're barking up the wrong tree. All right? You with me? That's why we have the National Animal Identification System, is because of Agenda 21. That's why we're going to the real ID process. There's no political will to stop this madness. They're all in bed with it, basically. So let's go on. We'll continue under this Section B research, 78.F, right out of the Compendium of Recommendations. Here we go. It says, I'll just start again. The formation, implementation, and evaluation of population policies. Methods for integrating population inputs and goals in development plans and programs. Means for understanding and approving the motivations of people to participate in the formulation and implementation of population programs. Study of education and communication aspects of population policy. When you see something like that, when I see something like that, I think of my old friend Auguste Comte, the founder of sociology, the French maniac, if you will. I spent a long time reading his philosophy and his catechism for the universal religion of humanity. And I understand a lot about him that many people don't. But this concept, the study of education and communication, that goes right into our colleges. It goes right into our grade schools. We have people who study sociology, take sociology, Soc 1, Soc 2, whatever they call it. They're taught how to teach, so to speak, and it's all inculcated. It's completely embedded with these ideas, and each generation of teachers that come out of our schools are more and more and more on board with this concept, and they turn right around and teach it to our children. And we need to know that, and we need to stop that. And we can stop that right on the local level by working directly with your school board, your superintendents of schools, the person that establishes the curriculum director for your school districts. We can block this, and we can stop this. And now with the new textbook laws here in Missouri, the open textbook laws, we'll be able to go in, get copies of these textbooks, and sit down and read them, highlight them, and then go back and discuss them with the educators so they understand that we don't like this agenda being taught to our young, beautiful, sweet children. Continuing, the analysis of population policies in their relationship to other socioeconomic development policies, laws, and institutions, including the possible influences of economic system on the social, cultural, and economic aspects of population policies. I'll just put that into words that you might understand. That we, the people, rising up from our ancient customs and traditions, built this country. And this unbridled influx of immigrations, this illegal alien invasion in the tens of thousands and in the millions, this destroys a people. It cannot continue. The longer it is allowed to continue, the worse off the United States becomes. We no longer recognize our heritage, we don't understand our customs, and we don't understand our traditions. And if we don't have common customs and we don't have common traditions, then we cannot have common law, and we cannot understand our legal system because it no longer relates to we, the people. Continuing, including the possible influences of economic system on social and cultural and economic aspects of population policies. The translation into action of programs of policies dealing with the socioeconomic aspects of population policies. Notice the redundancy here. The translation into action programs of policies dealing with the socioeconomic determinants of fertility, mortality, internal migration, and the distribution and international migration. So in one paragraph here, the 78F really lays it out well. Continuing, in N, the interrelations of population trends and conditions and other social and economic variables. In particular, the availability of human resources, food and natural resources, the quality of the environment, the need for health, education, employment, welfare, housing, and other social services and amenities, promotion of human rights, the enhancement of the status of women, the need for social security, political stability, discrimination, and political freedom. My, what a statement. Ladies and gentlemen, this spells financial disaster for the receiving countries. These people are coming into this country, working here, and then sending their money home. And we're going to get into remittances more today. And they're not contributing to this society. They're simply parasites on the body politic. They're parasites in the host country. And we need to expel the parasites. It's time for a little bit of internal cleansing. We'll be back right here on Become Vocal Local. Stick with us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Let me tell you why I take Beta Prostate. As a man, I know my chances of having an enlarged prostate is pretty good. As a matter of fact, by the age of 40, our prostate can swell to the size of an apricot. And by age 60, our prostate can enlarge to the size of a lemon. Now, your prostate is right next to your bladder, so this is the main reason why men are up all night going to the bathroom. A good night's sleep is important for every man and their wives, since every time you wake up, she wakes up. So what do? You see your doctor for checkups, eat a healthy diet, and take what I take. It's called Beta Prostate, and it's a natural supplement that helps maintain prostate health. Over 2 million bottles of Beta Prostate have been sold. Why? Because it works. Try it free today by calling 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848. Don't put this call off until tomorrow. Try it free today. Dial 1-800-362-5848.
Last month, Ready Reserve Foods stated that by fall, food would be in short supply and the government would be forced to impose controls on food and food distribution because of civil unrest and panic. Well, the floods in the heartland of America have all but assured this will happen. It is estimated that 5 million acres of farmland will not be producing over 700 million bushels of corn alone. If you have ever thought about storing food, now is the time to do so. Call Ready Reserve Foods at 1-800-453-2202 for a free catalog. Larry Matlack, president of the American Agriculture Movement, stated on June 6th that the USDA has only enough wheat stored to make one half of a loaf of bread for every American. Visit us on the web at ReadyReserveFoods.com. 1-800-453-2202. That's 1-800-453-2202. Act now.
Don't be a victim of sudden cardiac arrest due to inflammation of the arterial walls. Our hemp foods are anti-inflammatory and gluten-free and can greatly benefit the health of the human body. By calling 908-691-2608 or visiting hempusa.org, you can benefit from this wonderful natural food source. Our customers are also purchasing this natural food for long-term storage, camping, survival, and emergency food rations. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org today. Hempusa.org believes that now is the time to plan for the future, and food will be your greatest asset. People spend money on all kinds of things, but our warning is prepare now for food shortages in the future. So don't delay, call today, 908-691-2608, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you.
And we're back right here on Become Vocal Local. And before we proceed with today's topical material, we have a caller, Mo from Oregon. Mo, are you there, my friend?
Yes, thank you very much indeed, Mr. William. Thank you, my call, and thank you to RBN as well. And my comments are, you know, IndyMac Bank Corporation went under. They have closed all their branches, and pretty much lots of people laid off past week. And now their stock is around 20 cents to 30 cents range area. And that's number one information. And number second is that right now we are very close to 10,000 point stock. So means 4,000 points we came down since 8 months ago, you know.
That's on the Dow Stock Exchange, correct?
Exactly, indeed. Sir, and so as we going keep going down and down, the gloomy war with Iran is a hint that Israel is ready to attack to Iran, and that's why the stock market is keep coming down, and that's one of the signals we need to watch carefully. And if it goes below 9,000 points, that means it's more closer. I mean, every time it goes down, we are going to get closer and closer to the striking Iran nuclear facilities in Bushehr and Natanz and other parts of Iran. And Israeli jets, pilots, they are aware of it, that it's one way only. They may never come back home again. And it's a mess. It's everything created by design. And we middle class people are pretty much are gone. And, you know, if we think that there is no problem in this country, we are totally mistaken.
I couldn't agree with you more, Mo. And one of the things that we encourage people to do right here on Become Vocal Local is to form their local voting precinct groups. And it's not just just so much that that we have to, you know, drive on this political thing, because we certainly must. But it's also because as times get tougher, it's necessary for us to reawaken the community experience, if you will, and get to know the people that we live around, because in them and in their numbers, we may have some more a better chance of surviving this economic downturn. The Ozarks were a haven for people during the crash at 29 and all the way through to 32, I think, and continuing. But a great number of people left the urban areas and came to the southern part of Missouri and the northern parts of Arkansas, because here, once again, they could go onto the 40 acres with the mule, so to speak, and actually live through this hard time. So I thanks for the call, Mo. Good points, as always. And folks,
thank you very much.
You're quite welcome, Mo, and thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
We must remember also that part of this discussion, this dialogue, a part that has to be remembered, and I brought it out at the close, I believe, of yesterday's broadcast, if not on the first as well, that what is driving all of this migration is the concept of remittances. And the testimony that Mo has given in regards to banks and bank failings, there are certain banks that are in the international monetary community are making hay with the international migration process. Every time a person that's here as an alien or a migrant worker, every time they get paid, a portion of what they earn, a portion of what they receive, they send home. And so we need to be aware that that is happening. Now, here on just a little notice that I picked up in the lobby of my bank, they have the domestic outgoing wire transfer fees listed. For a customer of the bank, it costs $17. That's a domestic outgoing wire transfer. So you could, if you were working here at one of the chicken factories in southwest Missouri, you could perhaps wire some money to your other family, your extended family, over in Arizona, and no matter how much you send, it would cost you $17 to do that. For a non-customer of the bank, in other words, people that don't have any identification, and they just come in and they want to do a wire transfer in the continent, in our nation, it costs $25. For a domestic incoming wire transfer, for a customer, it's $7. For a non-customer, it's $20. But for a foreign wire transfer, no matter how much you send, how little or how much, it costs $55 to do that. And you know a wire transfer is like sending an email. And they charge up to $55 right here locally to make that happen. Now, you multiply that by all of the people, the number of all of the aliens, the immigrants that are in this country working, legally, illegally, or otherwise, sending money back home, times $55 every time they do that. Let's say that once a month they make their wire transfer, they keep the money in a shoebox or something, and they make their wire transfer back home. For Mexico, this is one of the principal parts of their gross domestic product. It's this money that is coming into circulation in Mexico from the United States. And what happens there is it comes out of circulation here. It doesn't go to pay for haircuts and shaves. It doesn't buy cars. It doesn't build houses. It doesn't build infrastructure. It doesn't pay taxes. It doesn't provide for their own health care and health benefits. It doesn't provide for anything. It's just money that's vacuumed up out of our economy and sent elsewhere. It's absolutely destructive when you think of the multiplier effect of individual dollars being spent and around in a community. So when someone hoards their money and then they send it out, it does great damage to us. But as we continue in this study, you're going to find that it does great benefits for the international environmental and developmental concerns. Now here, we're going to go return now to the topic and look at this International Conference on Population that was held in Mexico City, August the 6th and the 14th in 1984. Recommendation number 51. Governments of countries of origin and receiving countries, those are key words, folks. This is the way they talk about it, countries of origin and receiving countries, should encourage and promote the widest dissemination, inter alia, that, again, that just simply is Latin, it means among others, the widest dissemination among others through the mass media of information aimed at promoting public understanding of and preventing any activity prejudicial to the contribution of documented migrant workers to economic development and cultural interchange. You see what they're saying? Through the mass media. It's the widest dissemination to encourage and to promote the widest dissemination through the mass media of information aimed at promoting public understanding of and preventing any activity prejudicial to the contribution of the documented migrant worker to economic development and cultural exchange. Section C, undocumented migrants. You notice how they say that, as opposed to saying illegal aliens. They say undocumented migrant. 30, the World Plan of Action. That's a capital W, capital P, capital A. The World Plan of Action recommends that governments bear in mind humanitarian considerations. I should back up and just simply say that it was Auguste Comte that coined the term humanitarian. He's the father of sociology, by the way. He's founder of the system of philosophy known as positivism. And that system is a very interesting study. We'll do it another time. But governments bear in mind that humanitarian consideration in the treatment of undocumented migrants, owing to the irregularity of their situation, undocumented migrants are particularly vulnerable to exploitation and mistreatment. It is therefore urgent that their basic human rights and fundamental freedoms be universally recognized and that they enjoy international protection as well as the protection of receiving countries within the framework of bilateral conventions. The widest recognition of the rights of all migrant workers and all of the effective safeguarding of these rights will tend to discourage exploitation of undocumented migrants, particularly exploitation in the sphere of employment by employers who wish to reap the benefits of unfair competition. For the purpose of following the recommendations, undocumented migrants are persons who have not fulfilled all the legal requirements of the state in which they find themselves for admission, stay, or exercise of economic activity. So, we see then that they define the term undocumented migrant. They're persons who have not fulfilled all the legal requirements of the state. And when we were talking or reading from the Black's Law Dictionary, we saw that they'd entered at the wrong place at the wrong time, and they didn't follow the correct procedures. Recommendation 52, all measures adopted by or implemented by countries of departure and arrival. So you see, the words just keep changing. They morph and they morph and they morph from one conference to another. They just keep changing the terms. Here in the first instance, we talked about countries of origin and receiving countries. Now we're talking about countries of departure and of arrival. To reduce the illegal entry, stay, or employment of undocumented migrants, including amnesties or other regularization schemes, border controls, and deportations, should respect their basic human rights. And so, when we start to think about deportation, when we talk about border control, regularization schemes, we have to consider the illegals, the criminals, we have to consider and keep in mind, forefront in our minds, their basic human rights. And we're going to go into that when we start to look at the international migration and development and look at some of the law that has been promulgated from the international law courts. And so we'll see that mass expulsions are not going to be on the table, as Nancy Pelosi would say. Here we go. Let's go to the International Conference on Population Development from Cairo. Now, we're in Egypt. You see, this is why we need to be so concerned about globalization, folks, and globalism. Were you invited to this conference in Cairo? Did you ever hear of it? It was in Cairo on September the 5th through the 13th of 1994. The other one, I was in Mexico City in 1984. Who amongst us has the wherewithal, perhaps except for Joan Vian, to go traipsing all over the planet Earth trying to chase down these conferences where critical decisions, policies, programs are being formulated that then impact international law and then translate into treaties that bind we the people? I think we need to be very concerned here. Chapter X, or Chapter 10, International Migration, A, International Migration and Development, Basis for Action. This is from that International Conference on Population and Development in Cairo, Section 10.1. International economic, political, and cultural interrelations play an important role in the flow of people between countries. The flow of people between countries. Now, guys, I just have to stop and break in on this stuff, you know. It's so offensive for me to read it. I feel as though I'm bound to read it. I need to understand this stuff so that I can communicate it correctly to you. But this idea, this flow of people, once again, if we go back and understand, like, migration, it's just so many reindeer going from one patch of berries in tundra to another patch of berries in tundra. You know, we are the stupid, dumb animals wandering around on the planet that the global superstate wants to administer and administrate over us. So we need to be aware of that, and I'm sure you are as listeners to Republic Broadcasting Network. Now, whether they are developing, developed, or with economies in transition, now those are those countries. I'm continuing. In its diverse types, international migration is linked to such interrelations and both affects and is affected by the development process. Always we come back to the economy, always we come back to the development. And sustainable development is completely and 100% in the forefront of the minds of the people who are writing and working on these documents. That's why we study Agenda 21, and that's why we need to put these things together sequentially so that we understand what the problems really are. It's not just L.A. It's not just Arizona. It's not just New Mexico or Texas. It's an international agenda. Continuing, international economic imbalances, poverty and environmental degradation, so now we've got development and environment in the same paragraph again, combined with the absence of peace and security, human rights violations and the varying degrees of development of judicial and democratic institutions are all factors affecting international migration. So I'll say it again. International economic imbalances, poverty, and environmental degradation, combined with the absence of peace and security, human rights violations, and the varying degrees of development of judicial and democratic institutions are all factors in affecting the international migration. And although most international migration flows occur between neighboring countries, here we are, Mexico and the United States, inter-regional migration, in other words, from Mexico to Canada or from Paraguay to Canada, particularly that directed to developing countries, there you go again, from the south to the north, has been growing. Now, this was recognized and stated in Cairo in 1994. It is estimated that the number of international migrants in the world, including refugees, is in excess of 125 million persons. About half of them in the developing countries. They've come here. In recent years, the main receiving countries in the developed world registered a net migration intake of approximately 2.4 million persons annually. About two-thirds of them who originated in developing countries. Again, this is from the south, the southern hemisphere, and from the far east to the west and to the north. Orderly international migration can have positive impacts on both the communities of origin and the communities of destination, providing the former with remittances and the latter with needed human resources. And so they're calculating into this formula, this calculus, if you will. They're calculating into this the good that are the remittances due to the country of origin and the good, supposedly, that will happen in the developed nations of this 2.5 million plus annual imposition of human resources. Continuing. International migration also has the potential of facilitating the transfer of skills and contributing to cultural enrichment, or I might say cultural degradation. However, international migration entails the loss of human resources for many countries of origin and may give rise to political, economic, or social tensions in the countries of destination. And isn't that what's happening today here in our nation? Give rise to political, economic, or social tensions? When was the last time you went to Walmart and saw bilingual signs posted everywhere? Walked down an aisle and you listened to a Mexican advertisement, you know, a Spanish advertisement over your head from one of these teleprompters that they've got programming you continuously while you're inside the building. Anyway, the long-term manageability of international migration hinges on making the option to remain in one's country a viable one for all people. Hallelujah, and I hope they're successful. I really do hope that they will stay in their countries and that we can make this a viable solution. Nevertheless, we're coming to the last break of the day, and we'll return after this brief intermission to conclude today's broadcast. Stay with us.
Do you want to know right now how you can drive around using water as fuel and laugh at rising gas costs? Then keep listening for a very special offer. GasFreedom.info has all the information you need to learn about a simple technology you can have right now. GasFreedom is a do-it-yourself, affordable, practical, free energy device. It uses a little electricity from your car's battery to separate water into a gas called HHO. HHO, also called Brown's gas, burns beautifully and provides tons of energy, while the end product is just water. Visit GasFreedom.info now to learn more. In just 10 minutes, you will discover exactly how this is possible.
This is the secret the oil and auto industry doesn't want you to know.
Go to gasfreedom.info to learn how very easy it is to extract energy from water to run your car. Go to gasfreedom.info for this special offer. Turn any car into a hybrid for $300. Use the passcode RBN and receive $49 off. That's gasfreedom.info or call 239-628-3708. That's 239-628-3708. 239-628-3708.
Hey, honey, I'm home.
I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion. Would you trade your freedom for a fresh tomato? Before you laugh, just look at the news headlines. The world food shortage is real and is happening right now. Are you prepared? Do you have a long-term food solution? Time is running out. Visit survivalistseeds.com. Learn how you can have healthy food for just 4 pennies a pound. The choice between abundance and starvation is made today, not when it's too late. Order from survivalistseeds.com today and get a free instructional video on how to make a portable water filter. That's survivalistseeds.com. Get 5,000 pounds of fresh food for 4 pennies a pound. Learn how to never run out of food at survivalistseeds.com. That's survivalistseeds.com. Remember, your lack of action today will determine your suffering after the collapse. Survivalistseeds.com. Because patriots never run out of food.
We're back here on the last and closing segment of today's broadcast, and dear listeners, I would remind you to understand that we went into World War I and we came out of it. We went into World War II, we came out of it. There have been wars and rumors of wars since the beginning of recorded history. When we think about political solutions to these global problems, we need to remember that we have to do a full court press and to begin today and to never stop. Just because we go into, you know, another one of these war-like situations, which is basically just a stage play to distract the people and redistribute wealth, we need to continue to press on. Because if we just sit back and watch it, you know, from the lazy boy and see another war unroll before our eyes on television, we're not going to get any closer to solving this problem. The problem in this country is this corrupted two-party system, this political party system that is doing nothing but aiding and abetting this situation, and we need to make a major revision in our government. And the place to begin is in your local voting precinct. Now, also understand that what we're talking about in this series is the redistribution of wealth between nations and among nations. And so the idea of remittances and economic and social developmental concerns are fundamental to understanding why the borders remain open. Let me give you the last of the segments here that I'll read for today. And this is section 10.4, actions. Governments of countries of origin, wishing to foster the inflow of remittances and their productive use for development, should adopt some sound exchange rate, monetary, and economic policies, facilitate the provision of banking facilities that enable the safe and timely transfer of the migrants' funds, and promote the conditions necessary to increase domestic savings and channel them into productive investments. And so once again, even the migration issue, it's all money. We follow the money. We go back to the International Monetary Fund. We go back to the World Bank. It's always the money. It goes back to London. It goes back to the Rothschilds and all of their minions on a global level and the others of great and massive wealth that are holding the levers of power, the captains of finance and industry who really hold the levers of economic and social change. We need to be aware of that. And we'll continue this at another time. Maybe we'll take a little further on Monday. But I've got just a ton of material that we haven't even begun to touch, but is absolutely essential for you to gain an understanding of why the borders remain open. Now, I want to take a moment here and do a shameless plug. And I say that thanks to the continued support of the Webmasters for Freedom, advocates.org, and the OzarkVoters.info, we have a new and growing website dedicated to this notion of becoming vocal local. In other words, we've launched a website that will support this broadcast and the things that I say here. This lengthy text that I'm reading from that I prepared is going to be posted in a PDF file, so if you have Adobe Reader, you can go right there and download it and sit back and read it while you're listening to these broadcasts and gain even more understanding. Now, you can go to www.freedomadvocates.org, www.freedomadvocates.org, where you can view, download, and purchase many of the useful tools that they have developed, which will be helpful building your local precinct group and getting a better understanding of Agenda 21 and sustainable development. You can also go to www.ozarksvoter.info, which was the website built by and for the Far Southwest Chapter of the Ozark Property Rights. You can also go to the new website, www.vocallocal.org. And if you want to reach me directly by email, just simply send your emails to host@vocallocal.org. Now, I have to say that you've been listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Become vocal local. Take action right where you are and begin today. My name is William Roberts. I thank you for listening. Until the next time, good afternoon.
Gold has been.